Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast Park Fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans. We're here every week talking about things in the theme park world. I'm Bex, this is Kev.
Hi everyone.
And we are delighted to be joined by someone who's in charge of a theme park. We don't often get to speak directly to theme parks on the podcast, but I love it when we do. And this week we are going down to the southwest. We're going down to Devon, to Creeley, and welcoming Josh Hayward, the MD of Creeley, to Parkcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so glad that you've been able to join us.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks, so to try and sit down at a desk and find time to do this has been pretty difficult, but I'm glad I can do it.
No, you're very welcome. Exactly. I'm really looking forward to finding out a bit more about the park. Firstly, though, I think becoming MD of a theme park, I mean, for a lot of theme park fans, that's like a pipe dream and something that they'd think, how on earth do I get there? How did you get there? How did you start? How long have you been around for?
Well, yeah, OK, let's start at the very beginning, shall we? So I've been in this industry all of my working life. Left school, and I became a Butlins red coat.
I was okay.
Going to be a trainer. Nice. I was going to be a showbiz celebrity. That only happens for sort of a quarter of a percent of anybody ever steps on a stage. So I did that. I left home quite early, but always knew that I wanted to be in the fun industry, whether that's entertainment or as it is now, theme parks. My first real theme park job was with Ripley's at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. I was part of the opening team that opened Ripley's, believe it or not, back in 1991, that was.
Yeah.
So we opened that, which was the first UK, UK Ripley's franchise, which was a big thing for Blackpool Pleasure Beach at the time on the Boulevard. The Boulevard was brand new then. We opened the Ocean Boulevard. Mm. So it was great to be part of that. So I was there for a couple of years, and then I moved sideways in the Pleasure Beach, became guest services manager and looked after all the ticket offices. And back in the day where the Pleasure Beach was non-ticketed, so you could just walk on.
Yes. Yeah.
You would open at 9 o'clock in the morning. You would be there till 1 o'clock in the following morning. really high adrenaline, non-stop, action-packed days, which were brilliant. And that's where I learned the industry, working with some legends, you know, Jeffrey Thompson, Amanda and Nick's dad.
Yeah.
Who was a true gent and was just brilliant. JR, all these legends that were, you know, at Pleasure Beach at the time. And so I was a young lad and I learned and I said yes and then learned to do it afterwards because I was so keen.
Yeah.
You know, we worked with Peter Jay and Norman Barrett and the Superdome Circus and all those fantastic elements that were what made the Pleasure Beach back then. And I was there when we opened the big one. So I was developed through then.
Oh, wow.
That must have been cool.
Yeah, it was great. Absolutely amazing. And then I did various bits and pieces I was involved with in radio. So I worked, in fact, I started at Kit Kat Radio at the time as well on the Pleasure Beach doing some radio stuff.
Fellow radio friend.
Yeah.
I always wanted to work on Kit Kat Radio, by the way.
It was great. Yeah, I'll have to send you the jingles. I still have the jingles somewhere.
Oh, please do.
And then I worked in Blackpool doing some various bits on radio as well. And then I went off to do the cruise ships and I came back. And then I worked for Carnival. I've done loads of things, really. But staying with the industry, I then went to work for Disney on the Disney Cruise Line. Flamingoland, I worked there as well. I've done some bits. Then found myself in the accommodation sector. So I worked with Bourne Leisure and Haven Holidays.
Yeah.
Learning that side of the business. Then went back to cruise ships, Royal Caribbean, as cruise director. So, yeah, always in this sector.
Yeah, always hospitality and tourism.
Always hospitality, leisure, entertainment, fun. Yeah. And I've always said, you know, I've got friends who work in the insurance sector and people who work in garages on cold, dark January days, changing clutches and doing oil filters. That is great for them, but certainly nothing that I've ever wanted to do. You know, I always love the smell of the candy floss and the donuts and hearing the screams and the laughter. That is my drug, you know, and that's something that
we all do.
You can't shake it. You can't shake it. Once it's in, You just can't shake it. And that's what I think. And no 2 days, if you talk to anybody, no 2 days are the same. And I think that's what we quite like about it as well.
Yeah. I think it's either in your blood to do that or it's not, isn't it? Like you said, I can't imagine sometimes I've always worked in radio and I can't imagine sitting in what I always call a normal office, where no one's having fun. Yeah. And yeah, you've got to follow your heart on that. And it sounds like one of the things you have to do is basically say yes and just go, say yes and think about it afterwards. Like, put yourself forward.
Absolutely. I think this is the kind of industry where you can learn on the job and you can learn from industry experts and surround yourself with the right people. Just have the, and this is for, you know, people, up and coming people as well, coming into the industry. Just be passionate, be very flexible, because this industry needs people who can be flexible and work weekends and bank holidays. But just be willing to get involved and to learn. You can do a degree in hospitality. Yes, you can do a degree in leisure service. You can do all of those, but nothing prepares you for actually being on site when you've got thousands and thousands of people, all with separate needs, wants, and requirements from their days out. And obviously, those challenges are getting more and more so as people get more demanding, want more value for money, etc.
Yeah.
But I think, just you. I think you'll know it's for you. You'll know in the first week or two whether this industry is for you, and there are plenty of opportunities. You know, we've seen people grow in this industry. There's particular people who work with me on my team who started in with work experience level and now head of engineering.
Wow.
Exactly. You know, they've been here 20 odd years. Maintenance manager's been here 25 years. We've got marketing team who started, then go away and come back, and the grass isn't always greener. So, you know, there are definitely opportunities for the right people in this sector, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I think your enthusiasm for it has just absolutely shone through there. If anyone was on the fence about whether they should give it a go, God, I'm ready to start. Give me a job as a ride-up.
Call me, because, you know, we're happy. We have an extensive work experience program. And even tasters, I would be happy to spend a couple of days with anybody who's thinking about taking particular jobs or roles. And that's one thing I am proud of at Creedy. We are quite an open book. We like to share best practice. We like to talk to other attractions. You know, if people say to you, are you up this week or down? No sugarcoating. We'll tell people that we're up or down, because it's the truth. And I think if we're going to progress as an industry and we're going to find the best talent, then you have to be honest and open with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it does come across, the passion. You can tell when it's run well and be with people who are passionate about it. You can really tell.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah, we're all a bunch of passionate people. And I like to think that I'm infectious in that way. And give people the opportunity to make a difference as well. I don't like to micromanage. I will be involved in certain things at certain levels, but I like to be able to give our managers, our senior team, the opportunity to make a difference.
Yeah. Oh, I think you do. And wow, what a great attitude to have. And I'm sure your staff are really grateful for that as well, proven by the fact that they come back.
Exactly. Yeah.
How did you, what happened with Creedy then? Did you get the call? Did you apply for it? How have you ended up there?
So I've always had this theme park thing, and you know, I went into holiday park industry with Haven and Bourne Leisure, and one element of that, and I love that as well. I love creating memories, creating holidays and experiences for people. But one aspect of that I wasn't really keen on, and that was the whole selling caravans, lodges. You know, whilst I am a salesperson, sales was a real big focus, and that wasn't for me. So, and I did a good couple of years there and earned great money and great bonuses. I loved trips around the world and met some lovely people who I'm still in touch with and work with. In fact, I brought people to Greeley from that industry. But I just knew I needed to get back in the attraction sector. And I was based at Burnham-on-Sea, which is about an hour from here in Somerset at the Haven Park there. And we brought the kids to Creeley a couple of times just for days out. And I remember saying to my wife, Katie, who is also in the industry, she makes costumes, and currently she's on the brand new Royal Caribbean ship in Finland, getting a brand new show ready. So so she gets all of this. So we come down to Creedy for a couple of days with the kids when they were tiny, tiny. And I said, this has got massive potential. If ever the opportunity came up to run something like this, I'd love to have a go. Because I think for me, it's not about taking the finished product. I don't think I'd be interested in taking a job on like Alt Towers, which is already there and already shiny and love. I'm quite the opposite. I like a challenge, true veg and get your teeth in, be able to make the decisions and bring in the attractions and decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do that, which I've pretty much had the that say here, which has been great. So that was really tempting when I came around and looked. I thought, I could do that. We should have this. Entertainment should be great. We could put that there. And then I went off and started writing a plan of what I would do with this place. If it was me, I think it was just a little bit of a time filler. Not had much time, but it was a little project I had, thinking, right, if I had this place, this is what I would do. I'd change the sign, rebrand this. And then 2 weeks later, literally 2 weeks later, they advertised for the job for general manager.
Oh, it was fate.
Yeah, absolutely. So I came for an interview. And lo and behold, the person who was MD at the time was a guy called Rod Pearson, who had worked with his brother at Blackpool previously. So we got talking about Blackpool and we got talking about stuff. And his question to me was, why do I want to leave the billion-pound company Bourne Leisure to come and work for a little old Creeley? And I said, the answer was, I don't really like selling lodges and caravans, and I just want to get out of the holiday park industry, really. To which he replied, oh, because we want to build a holiday park on the back of Creeley.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm your man in that case, because I can build it from scratch for you, and that's fine. As long as we don't start selling lodges, we'll be okay. So I had the interview. Then I went off. I had a job, a freelance job, working on a really posh yacht during the America's Cup, sailing around Valencia, watching the America's Cup. It was really nice. And I didn't hear anything from Creeley for 2 or 3 weeks. And I thought, oh, okay, perhaps it's gone cold and they found somebody else. When I got back, I chased HR and said, look, I haven't heard anything. I'm sure everything's progressing. Is everything okay? Do I need to do anything else? Do I need to come back and visit? This was prior to Zoom. Zoom didn't exist back then, or Teams. You had to physically attend an interview. And they said, no, they're still deliberating. They'll come back to you. I said, okay. Then another 2 weeks went by. And I thought, well, that's fine. And then my wife said, well, that's the reason they need you, because those systems and processes aren't in place. And, there you can make a difference. So I pestered again, to which I was told, oh, there's going to be a board meeting this afternoon. They're going to make the final decision. And they did call me back that afternoon and offered me the job, which was
Wow.
great. So I handed my notice in the very next day, and I started here June, got the job in July, started here September 2010.
Right, wow.
And I spent the first month undercover, so nobody knew who I was. I was just out with every 2 or 3 days. I was here with the family, doing the whole mystery shop thing, having a look at stuff. And yes, so there was lots of research to do so I could hit the ground running. And I witnessed the Halloween operation, and then yeah, I was given the keys sort of 1st of November and said, right, off you go. And that's what we did. So
And you were off.
and I remember coming,
Wow.
I remember the first year. So we just before, as I joined, they were putting in the Van Egdom water coaster, the triple slide thing. That was the first thing they I was part of that project at the end, but the decision was already made before I came. So the following year, I had a full year. So the following year, Easter, I remember being spectacularly warm. It was lovely. And people were coming in their droves, and we were smashing budget. May half term was amazing. I think we were something like £1 million up, or so. It was ridiculous. And I turned to the owner and went, this, how has it been so wrong? Because this is like taking candy off a baby. I said, no, but I made a few tweaks and a few changes. But he was like, no, congratulations, brilliant. Because then I got lured into a false sense of security, and then we had the wettest summer on record,
Oh
and it
no.
rained every single day in July and August, and we lost £2 million. So
Oh.
all the hard work. So I was quickly
Wow.
brought back down to earth from this jubilation, thinking I was going to be the king of theme parks, and suddenly realised quite quickly that wasn't going to be the case, and there was more hard work needed. So. But yeah, so I've been here now. This is my 16th season. And to be honest, I never planned to be here that long. I think because this industry tends to be quite transient anyway,
Yeah.
people move around quite a
Yeah.
lot in the leisure sector. And sometimes you don't get a choice, you get moved. Certainly when I was with Bourne Leisure, I was moved from Blackpool to Great Yarmouth to Burnham-on-Sea to Northumberland. So you're here, there, and everywhere. So it's very rare you get an opportunity to stay for as long as I have here. I've been very fortunate And the family that I work for, the family that own the park, are also a farming family. So that's one of their main areas of the business. The lady who is responsible for setting up Creeley, Angela Wright MBE, she left the business as I joined. So I effectively took over from her. Her and her family emigrated. But prior to that, her and her brother Chris, who still owns the business, they set up Creeley. Angela was the big inspiration. She had this dream that she wanted to set this attraction up. The family, the Down family, lived in the house, which is the birthplace of Sir Walter Raleigh in East
Oh,
Devon.
right.
So they had a bit of a tourist background where they used to open the house up, little tea room, just sell some tea towels and do the tours of where Sir Walter Raleigh was born. So they had that sort of background in the industry. And Angela was really set up. She's such a driven, focused. Anybody who's watching this who knows Angela, and hopefully Angela would be watching this, and she won't mind me saying this, but she was such a driven, focused, determined business lady who was truly passionate about the industry, hence the MBE. Had this vision, and the vision was to create a place where children could learn about animals and farming in a fun environment, and that's what the family set out to do. That was back in 1982. So this farm was purchased, the land was purchased from Cambridge University. It was owned by the Cambridge University. They brought the land. And then in 1989, it opened as a farm adventure park, Creeley Farm Adventure Park. And at the time, you could just come and milk cows. You come and watch the cows being milked in the dairy. You've got a little sticker to say, I'm helped milk the cows. And they built a little cafe on the side, then a little play area. Then they added a carousel. Then they added a gift shop. And suddenly, as it just grows. And,
Yeah.
and then 40 years later, Creeley is now the Southwest number one visitor attraction. And so, yes. So,
Yeah.
that's the sort of the nutshell story, really. And I never thought that 16 years on I'd still be doing this, and certainly not still doing it being still doing it here anyway. But because I digressed a little bit, but because the family are farmers, that's their main focus. And I've just been allowed, I proved myself in the first 2 or 3 years, and they now trust me as I trust them implicitly. They're so good to work for. They're wonderful, wonderful people. Happy to look at different ideas and a bit quirky stuff, and take a chance and leave me and the team to it to deliver. But they don't really get involved in the day to day in the day to day business. Yes, we have board meetings, and yes, we have catch ups, and we have finance meetings and all that stuff. But they normally take the form of me saying, right, this is what I want to do, this is how we're going to do it, and they go, yeah, here we go, off you go, and deliver that. And so that's been wonderful, and it's quite a unique proposition in our industry where you get to have the say on everything, what it looks like, smells like, tastes like, what uniform we wear, what name badges we produce, blah, 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 what rides we buy, what food we buy, what accommodation we put in, what color we paint the grass, all of those things, that all comes from this very desk. And I'm so lucky to have that freedom and free rein. And like you said, Rebecca, most theme park enthusiasts would love the opportunity to play, literally play real life theme park.
Yeah, like Planet Coaster. That's what I was just thinking as you were saying it.
It
It's like
pretty much is that.
everything is yours. And it's that benefit of a family-owned theme park. And we've had Lawrence from Paultons on here who talks about things in the same way that, yes, there's the pressure of that every decision you make is your decision, and it's on your head if it was the wrong one. But wow, to have the autonomy to be able to say, no, I really, with my experience, I know this is what we should be doing. And then being given the blessing to go, well, then go and do it. What a position to be in.
And also, knowing when things aren't going to be right, and having to make those decisions as well, making the tough decisions that, if I was to speak to all the team here, they would say, right, we need to build the tallest, fastest roller coaster in the world, and that's what's going to, we I know deep down that's not what Creeley needs. That's not going to help us. In fact, if we built the world's tallest, fastest roller coaster, all we would get is complaints, because when they got here, that's all there would be for the thrill seeking junkies, so we know our market, we know our place in the industry. We have limited budgets, obviously. We have those kind of restrictions and challenges. So, but I've not always got it right. I've brought things that haven't worked. We've put things in and we've had to take out. I mean, one of the mirror maze, we put a mirror maze in, and the first day it opened, somebody broke their nose. Thought it was a good
Oh
idea. But you know,
Yeah, that's not what you want, is it?
no, it's great. No, I went to see a few of these things and thought, oh, they work, yeah, great. And Wookiee Hole have got one, and Longleat have got one, and the guys at Dreamland operate. Oh, this is great. Yeah, this would work for us in the middle of the sooty lap. Day one, bang, broken nose, claim. Like, so I think I got 2 years out of it before I had to relent and go, do you know what? We're taking this out.
Oh, at least it wasn't like the next week that you had to
No,
close it.
absolutely no. But you know, it became a shadow of its former self, because it started as a mirror maze. We ended up putting stickers all over it. Let me put,
Oh,
please walk
yeah.
slowly, do not enter this building. You know,
Hey, that's your radio voice coming out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you do it? Did you do the VO for it?
Well, when I first started here, I did all of the announcements and all of the voiceovers. Of the
Did
line.
You?
Yeah,
Wow.
I love
because
that.
it was cost effective, and I knew what I needed to do, and I didn't have time to direct a voiceover guy. And but now I don't do that because my voice is too familiar, so people do that. But yeah, so you know, you don't always get those decisions right. I like to think the majority we have, such as, you know, things like the rides we put in this year, the sooty land and the accommodation. I mean, people don't even know that at Creeley we sleep 800 people a night.
Wow,
so
yeah, I didn't appreciate that.
In various forms of accommodation, luxury lodges with hot tubs.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, themed accommodations. So we've got sooty themed lodges as well. It's our own character, Buddy and Blossom Bear. We've got safari tents, and people could bring their own tourers and tents and motorhomes as well. So it really helps the business, because certainly in COVID, when we opened our doors in the morning, we knew we had 800 people ready to come into the park before we'd even sold a ticket. That really helps. That really helps. And you can see those businesses that have diversified into accommodation or have accommodation on the side of their business, like Flamingoland and Fantasy Island, Pleasure Beach Blackpool, obviously, with their hotels. And now Poulton's are starting to do that. And, of course, all the Merlin attractions of the hotels and Drayton and those kind of places. That really underpins the business and makes it a bit more viable. And sadly, those businesses that haven't embraced that, we've seen them go by the wayside. You know, the Oakwoods, the Flambards.
Yeah.
Because.
Interesting, yeah, connection there. I hadn't thought about that, that they were the ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something.
Yeah.
You have to, yeah. And do you know what? And that's something you have to balance, because we only have an infinite amount of money. We don't have an infinite amount of money. We have a minimum amount of money to spend on capital each year. And we have to decide where that goes. Does it go in a theme park this year to drive footfall, or does it go on a safe bet on accommodation and more lodges and more facilities over there? Because we know that, you know, even on a day like today, we'll have 500 people in the park because it's school and it's quiet. We'll have a few school groups and stuff. But I know I've got 300 or 400 people who are staying on resort. So it is that fine balance of where to put that money and where to invest. And that we'll have disagreements, because some days I want to spend it on park and the rest of the board won't. And then one time I want to spend it on a swimming pool for that, and they'll, no, we should put rides in. So it's not always plain sailing, but I think trying to get that balance is difficult. We're very good at being able to make quick decisions, no red tape, because there's four directors, and the owner literally, although I don't see him very often, he sits in the next office. So if I have an opportunity, I can just go across and say, look, can I have £250,000? Why? I've got this opportunity to buy these lodges. There should be £500,000, but I've gone for a quarter. He'll go, yeah, do it. And the same with the new ride that we just brought. It came from Dubai. It wasn't built. It was in a warehouse. It was built for a Chinese manufacturer, a Chinese park by Zamperla, the Italian manufacturer, and it didn't get installed. So I was out in Dubai, heard about it, and I called and said, look, can I have £500,000? Why? I found this ride. It should be £1 million. Yeah, let's do it. And we can make quick decisions.
Yeah.
You know, the week before we weren't going to have a ride. The week after, I was telling the marketing team we're having another ride. So, where sometimes in the bigger businesses there's a 2 year lead and they're planning and da, 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 and all of that sort of stuff, we can react pretty quick, which is also very nice.
Yeah, so, that's interesting that you talk about that, because one of the things I was wondering is, why did you decide to put in two rides in 1 year? That's quite an unusual thing for a small park to do. Obviously, you're talking there about the Zamperla Air Race, which is going to be called Rota. That's not open quite yet, but I guess we're on the cusp of it.
Summer, isn't it?
Summer, yes. We're just waiting for some paperwork from Zamperla to give to the people who are doing the design review to make sure. It's complicated, but it's ready to go. I've ridden it, it's ready to go. It's great.
Yeah.
It looks the part. Oh, great.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Technicalities. But yes, the plan was, to be honest, the plan was never to open it until summer anyway, because we took delivery a bit early. We thought we'd be able to open it up earlier. So we started off with just one attraction. We were buying the what was Magma from Poulton, because they
That's right, yeah.
took it out because of their new Viking area. And we have a close relationship with the guys at Poulton's. We work really close with them, and they're again another great operator, great family. We know the guys there really well. And they rang and said, "Look, we're getting rid of this. Do you want it?" And we talked with, we give you first reviews. Yeah, well, we'll take it. It'd be great. And we rethemed it and we put it into the park, and it was just the right age group for us. We were looking because what had happened a couple of years previous. We put the Sutty Land project in, which was great for us, great for retail, great for secondary friends, great for the preschool market. We knew that it would impact on our market, but we didn't realize how much it did impact. So it really reduced our age group, our age range. Creedy was always designed for families, for children sort of 10 and under, but we dropped to sort of 7 and under. So that really lost out on a big chunk of the market. And people were telling us that their kids were too old. They felt the kids were too old for Cruelly now, despite the fact we got a twisty coaster and the Vekoma ride, and we got the junior coaster and some other great thrill rides. The perception was that Cruelly was for the young market and for toddlers. So a bit of a double kick, really, because yes, it did great for us. For the IP and got lots of new people who wouldn't have come to Creeley before, but it did narrow that market. And so we listened to that feedback and said, look, we perhaps need to do something about this and put some activities and attractions in that are going to try and drag us back to that 9, 10, 11, 12, probably 12-year-old. And also trying to find attractions that aren't too extreme when it comes to the ride height, because that 10 centimeter gap between 1.2 and 1.4 is huge.
Oh,
You've got to be 14, and that's probably too big. And as I go back to my previous point, not putting too big of attractions in, because if you're going to put big attractions, you need two or three of those rather than just one on its own. So, and we'd love to do that. And hopefully, we will do that. But as I think, you have to put two decent attractions in at any one time to have the impact. And that was the feeling behind this. So when this air race came up, as I said, it was built for the Chinese market. We jumped at the chance, and we just thought it's changed the landscape of the park, both physically and the age group as well. I mean, look, when you cast your eye across the park now and see the drop tower and the air racing situation, it's really changed the landscape of Creeley, which is quite nice. But it was a quick decision. I think I said we're going to do it in September. I think it was September the 10th, I think, because it was our end of season party for the team for last year. And me and the maintenance manager were in Dubai on October the 1st. And so, it literally happened that quick. And because of our budget, I have to get involved in every level. So I'll do the negotiation. Finally, we'll do the negotiation. I will go over, sign it off, we'll pack it. Well, I won't physically pack it. I help pack it. We'll check the packing list, make sure it all goes onto the containers. We'll do the shipping. We'll work with the import people. Then we'll see it off the boat at Southampton or Dover or wherever it comes in. And then we'll make sure it gets shipped to park. And then we'll check it off here. And then we'll work with the inspectors and the installation team. And we'll do all the designs. We've been working with people like Mark Lofthouse at Neon Skull and various other people to do designs and music and.
The design looks awesome. It really impressed me when I saw, how it was going to look. You haven't just bought an off-the-shelf air race and gone, oh, there you go, that's fine. The fact that it is themed, it blew me away, really.
I think in the well, it's the best designed air race in the UK for sure. I mean, there's not many of them, but it's certainly like you say, you can pick the bog standard plane thing, and which is fine, and it works if in the right area. But yeah, so. I get involved at all that level, the logos and sign off of the artwork. And I mean, I've even been doing the sort of behind the scenes videos with the marketing team and the promotional video, which will be coming out next week, is amazing as well. And, I get involved in all those levels. And because I do that, we get to keep the cost down, but we get to deliver the project that we want as opposed to handing it over to the next time. In fact, we don't have the budget to do that. I'd love on one occasion, you better say, here's £100,000 for design fees. Well, that's just not, and I understand why the big boys have to do that, and Poulton's and the Merlin Group have to do it, because they don't have the resources and how to do that scale of a project. But on what we're doing, we can comfortably manage it. And I think then that gives the team a bit of incentive as well. They can see the investment. They're part of it. They're almost part of the fabric of the project as well. And they take great pride in that. So they go, they just do above and beyond to make sure we deliver that and
It's
for the budgets
ownership,
we
isn't
have.
it?
Exactly that.
It is theirs as well. It's not something that's like, right, this is what we're doing, go and operate it. It feels like you have been involved from the start of it.
It's good.
I was really impressed with the advert as well for Pirate's Plummet, because I just didn't expect it. I didn't expect you to do an advert for it. I think because I'm like in my head, I'm like, it's just Creely. It's just like, and they've just put in, they've put in the drop tower and they'll just open it. But then that this advert came and it was like cinematic. It was so unexpected for me. I remember I did a post about it online. I said, oh God, this has blown me away that Creely have done this. Is that a conscious sort of shift in direction for you that that's where you want to be taking the park?
I, we punch well above our weight when it comes to budgets and attractions. We certainly do. But we have some fantastically talented, wonderful people who work in our business. And everything that we produce is all in-house. We don't use anybody externally. We've got four people in our marketing team, and I'll mention them all because I'll be watching this. Jodie, who's head of our marketing, Daisy, who does digital. We've got Josh, who's our videographer, and Ella, our graphic designer. It's just four people. We only use one external agent, that's for an SEO function. So they produce that cinematic video. They've also
Wow.
produced the next one, which is also cinematic, very similar style. And last year we won Theme Park Awards because of that. So we want to make a lot of noise. I make sure that we're heard on a national level when I visit IAPA. I'm proud to wear the uniform and the badge, and I'll happily wear my Josh Creely badge. Happy to wear that around the park and uniform. In the early days, there were a team who weren't proud to work for Creely and would take their tops off, take their jackets off when they went to Tesco because they didn't want to be noticed. Or that isn't the case anymore. People are very proud to work at Creely.
Yeah,
We've got a
that's really
different
good.
ethos now. We've got a different feeling. So I do bang the drum when I go to IAPA. Like I said, I was at Balpa yesterday. I sit on that management committee table, and which elevates Creely's reputation as well. And so there's a lot of networking and a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes to help our reputation. And I think pushing, I know what our capability is, and sometimes it's just that encouragement that people need, allowing them to make mistakes so you don't get things right all the time. But let's just do it and let's see what we can achieve. Let's have a go. Let's not be afraid of failing, because some of our best works come out of things that we didn't think were going to be good enough. And I know last year, and I got a bit emotional at the awards, because we were going for best value theme park. Everybody wants the best value, and we didn't win that, and somebody else won that. And what I would say is, when you give free tickets away, of course you can be best value.
Oh, I can't remember who won that now, but I'm going
No,
to.
it doesn't matter. So we wanted best park for toddlers, and we wanted best park for families, best park for toddler thing. And that's what we won. And when we won the first one, we were over the moon. We got gold, which is brilliant. First place, theme park award. We'd never won a theme park award before. Creely was on the main stage. Brilliant. Great. And then we won the second award. And it made me realize then, I think at that point, yes, we've managed to break through. We are now talked about when people start talking about Poulton's and Drayton and Chessington. Creely's name's up there with the Gullivers and the Pleasure Beach Blackpools, so and I couldn't be prouder of that. Couldn't be prouder.
You should be, Josh. I mean, we've, as a family, we've been visiting Devon since I was a kid. We have family that live down there. So even for us to see a change over the years, and I have three girls, and it's been a joy bringing them to Creely. So as a kid going, and then your kids going. So I've been mentioning Creely for a long time. And we will always try and go because we holiday to Devon every year. And it's fantastic to see. And I was thinking about this, and we talk about small parks and big parks, right? But actually, for a child, I don't think they notice too much of a difference. And what I mean by that is because, so my eldest will still say that Tidal Wave, the log flume, is still one of her favorite rides. That, she's been to different theme parks around the country, but she still talks about that being one of her favorite thrill rides. And, so for her, it doesn't matter size of theme park, you've got attractions there that, they love. And my middle daughter loves Dino Jeeps, and that was her favorite ride for many years. And it's a lovely park, and I really would recommend people to go and visit if you do go down to Devon. And I think on this podcast we always talk about really supporting other theme parks as well, and that for me has always been really important. So it's been great to visit Crealey every year, and to see how it's been, growing and developing over the years. So you're doing a fantastic job, Josh.
That's really nice to hear. Thank you, Kev. And there is snobbery in the theme park world, depending on your footfall number or the kind of ride you've got. And if you've got a Mack ride or you've got a Gerschlauer ride, then you're in the upper echelons. But if you're buying stuff from SBF or Zamperla, you're not. But I think I take your point certainly about the log flume. It's a double drop log flume. It's quite a long ride as well, and people still love that. And the Dino Jeeps you pointed out there, I mean, that was the first time. Little story here. So this was 2013. I sat with the owner, Chris, and we were looking at putting in a Sally Dark ride in one of our indoor areas. So we met Greg from Sally, and we back then, I think it was about 2.4 million back then to do this. It was a smaller scale developer. And we sat there, and Greg left. And the day before, I'd had a meeting with, he's not with them anymore, but a Nicola Masson. He was sales rep for Zamperla. He's now with Vekoma, who I still know and still talk to. And we've been looking at various different rides. And we'd, 2013, I said 13 was wet. It was really, and we had seen a drop in footfall. We thought we'd better spend some money and see if we can get the footfall back up. So we looked at this dark ride. And I said to Chris, this is going to cost us 2 million quid. For 2 million quid, we could do this and this and this and this. And he went, let's do that. We should do that. So we built the indoor play area, which was Atlantis, which was the four rides. We put the indoor coaster in there, which was Rebecca's. It was an underwater themed building with play and a coffee outlet and rides. That was for February half term. Then for Easter, we opened the family swinger, which was a wave swinger ride. And then for May half term, so this is when we had a triple hit, we put in Dino Jeeps. And that was the first time we'd ever used the theme park algorithm, so if you want to call it, where you spend the same amount on theming as you do on the ride. Yeah,
Okay.
that's the sort of general thumb. If you spend £1 million on ride, you should spend £1 million on the theming or the landscape and everything that goes around it. We've never done that. We've just taken a ride, put it in, and put a kiosk and a bit of fencing and hoping that worked. We did this for Dino Jeeps, and it looked bloody amazing. It was fantastic. Rock work and animatronics and everything else. So much so, and I'm sure Richard Mansey won't mind me saying this, when they built Lost Kingdom at Poulton's, they brought their architects and their engineers to come and have a look at what we did for Dino Jeeps. So that was a quite a problem. That made me realize, go, yeah, actually, people are noticing what we do. People are looking at our content. People are looking at our website. And only recently we had, I don't know, I won't use their name, but we had another vlogger come to visit us, and they commented on our activity at the end of the day. And Kev, you'd have seen this if you've been here. At the end of the day, we don't waste anything. So any food or any hot dogs or pasties or whatever it may be, we sell out in the car park for people going down. They get a snack, and we call it last chance. And you can buy a pasty for a quid or a hot dog. We don't want to chuck anything away. I'd rather give it for a quid or give it away than chuck it away. It just seems waste. And this vlogger got a rollover hot dog for £2 and waxed lyrical all about how Creagley were doing £2 rollover hot dogs. And of course, this big scandal that another park was selling rollover hot dogs for 12, 14 quid. And
we shall remain nameless.
That we would
yeah,
not
exactly.
say.
There's been a hot dog gate and there's been all sorts of. Lo and behold, this half term, this said park are now doing last chance rollover hot dogs at their exit gate for £4.
You're an inspiration, Josh.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. So, you know, you don't have to build £1 million attractions for people to take notice. You know, there are things that we do that only we do. There are things that we do we're happy to share, because if it means 100,000 hot dogs aren't getting thrown away each year, then that's a good thing, surely. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
or 100,000 guests are getting a bargain. And I
you
think
walk away that, with a good feeling as a guest.
Yeah. Good feeling, yeah. Because they don't leave the day thinking they've been ripped off or they've been fleeced of everything they've got. You know, they're getting a deal on the way out, and that's something that we do, and we do that in retail as well. I won't give my secrets away, but we do that, and we're very successful at doing those kind of things. But we know that we'll do things. We've just changed our annual pass categories, and people have followed the pricing, people have followed the perks, people have followed our birthday party packages, people have followed our accommodation, you know. So we know, and when you start to set trends, I'm absolutely flattered, and like I said, I'd much rather share that with the industry and make the industry better for everybody.
Yeah. And and it's impressive that the big boys are noticing what you're doing and following suit, and please keep doing it, because I think they could do with following a suit in some ways. You have briefly mentioned this, but let's talk about Sooty Land. We have to.
Yep.
Much loved. We've talked about looking at your office, you are surrounded by
Sooty. This is one of the original 1963
how special is that?
Oh, wow.
Now, before we get into this, if you listened to the podcast last week, it was my Evictus episode with Glenn and Alex, who we went up to the Pleasure Beach with for the Evictus launch. Glenn would not let me leave the podcast. On finding out that you were on this week, he had a question for you, which was, what's Sweep like in real life?
Well, you know, he's so fun. He's so fun. The dog that I get the most messages about. Can you get Sweep to sing happy birthday to me? Can you get Sweep to say happy birthday to me? Just so fun. And you can see the joy in people's faces when Sweep speaks. In one of the shows, Sweep performs Nessun Dorma by Pavarotti. And it is, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's so funny, but it
because
is one of the
Sweep.
Most.
Because it's Sweep.
I know.
Yeah. The chemistry it works so well, and the brand such, and we work very closely with the brand owner, Richard Goodell. He's a wonderful person as well, and we have a great relationship, and we work really closely. But just the legacy brand, it's worked for 90 years. You know, you've got a puppet that doesn't talk. You've got a bear that doesn't talk. You've got a dog that squeaks, and you've got a panda randomly that bosses them about, and it works great. You've got the magic element, you've got the water pistols, you've got the, and it's so wholesome. And
yes.
I think it's, and I think the difference is with Sooty against all of the other IP projects. And by the way, we've done some fabulous IP projects in this country. Thomas Lann, Poulton's have done Peppa Pig so well. Justin Tim with, you know, there are so many great IPs, but the thing with Sooty, what you see is what you get. So, when you go to Poulton's, and they do it brilliantly, but Peppa Pig effectively is a 2D cartoon. You don't get to see that 2D cartoon, but you get to see. You know, you get to. This is the thing. You get to take it away. You can play with it. You can touch it. You can see it. The real thing is on stage, and and it's so wholesome. I think it's. It's tactile as well. It's inoffensive. He still does the fart jokes. He still does the whoopee cushions. We sell more whoopee cushions than we do probably rollover hot dogs. But you know, that's
amazing. Is that why you went with Sooty then? What drew you to that IP then, Josh?
Good question. Very good question, Kev. So since the day I got here, I knew that we should be doing IP. We didn't have the 5, 6, 7 million quid costs, budgets that these projects cost. But in the very early days, we started talking to the guys at HIT about Bob the Builder. Back in my Bourne Leisure days, Butlins used to do a thing called Bob the Builder Yard, and it was like a themed area within Butlins. Had a couple of kiddie rides in there, and Bob used to make appearances, and but it was on a license. And I thought we could do that better here. We could have some not go back, maybe spend £1 million. We could have a couple of Bob small flat rides, a Bob stage, a Bob sand pit in the building yard, and the building blocks, and just a bit of a Bob experience. And we talked to him, and they went, "Yeah, we'd be really interested in doing that." It grew and grew, and it was going to be where Sutherland is now, and it was going to have four rides, and it was going to have more activities, and it was going to be bigger than it intended to be. But these projects always end up that way, don't they? However, we were just about put a pen to paper for the contract, and HIT pulled it because the BBC pulled Bob from broadcast because they were going to HIT were going to reskin Bob and he'd become 3G animated rather
Oh,
than the
yeah.
stop animation, and it bombed. And I'm glad we didn't do it. Glad we didn't do it. We'd have been left with right a white elephant.
Yeah, they did ruin Bob when they did
It
that.
did ruin Bob because the
Absolutely.
whole muck dizzy. My kids, Toby, who's now 21, when he was 3 and 4, ruled the world. Bob the Builder, we've got them in the loft still, probably,
He was
toys.
number one.
It was Christmas number one.
Christmas number one. Don't mess with Bob. So we were still keen to do it. So then we started talking to HIT again about putting Fireman Sam, the land in, which we were really keen. But then the brand owners of Fireman Sam said the project wasn't big enough. If we're going to do Fireman Sam, it had to have two or three extra rides. One of them had to be a water spray ride, of course, because it
Yeah,
made sense.
the
One had to be a
fireman
coaster.
lift type thing.
Yeah, of course. And then it was out of budget, so we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. So then we started talking to the people at Aardman about doing, before the Pleasure Beach, about doing an Aardman thing. And it was going to be more of a farmy thing. So it was a collection of Shaun the Sheep, the chicken and the various creature comforts and that kind of experience. And we started working with Nick Farmer, the design people, to create some stuff. But the budget spiraled, and we just couldn't justify it. There was no we couldn't see a return on a 2.5 million at the time, on a £2.5 million project. Then we had subsequent conversations with the Smurfs. Then we talked to Bagpuss. Then we talked to Flintstones. And we talked to
Days.
all sorts of different brands. And then it died off a little bit. Then we decided we were going to spend €1.5 million putting the Twister roller coaster in instead. We did that. It was due to open July of 2015, and obviously we all know what happened in June of 15. We had the incident at Alton Towers, so we were banging the drums, screaming and shouting at our marketing about the Southwest only multi-car coaster. It's going to be fantastic. It's the first in the Southwest. And I was at a Balfour trip in Northern Ireland as it happened. So I was with all the big hitters. Nick Varney wasn't there, but Mike Vallis was, and we were in Northern Ireland. We were in a pub in Northern Ireland when the news broke. So people dispersed quite quickly, flights home and all sorts of stuff. And of course, then it impacted us because the focus was on, oh, you're talking about this multi-car, isn't that the kind of accident? So we couldn't talk about it. We had this brand new multi-million pound attraction, and we just couldn't market it.
Yeah,
So
how
we
frustrating for you.
spent, yes, spent this money, and we didn't move the needle at all on our business. Which is really disappointing, because I think had, and not taken away from the incident happened, because it was terrible, and we don't wish that on anybody, but it really impacted us. So then we decided, look, let's park the new rides and attractions. So let's have a start looking again at the IP project. So we started talking to Richard. He was really keen. At the time, Richard and his brother David were operating Breen Leisure Park, and they had a little sooty area there, and they were doing a sooty show, and they had the sooty memorabilia, and they were doing it on a small scale, but they were really looking for a place they could put it and make something of it. And they talked to us about it. We had a couple of meetings with them, and I've known Richard and David for a number of years, even before coming to Crewley, spending my time in Burnham and Breen. And then COVID hit. So we sort of put that on the back burner. We sort of made an agreement, said, yeah, we'd like to do it. And then we did COVID. We had a bump a couple of years of COVID, and we said, right, if we're going to do it, we've got the cash, let's do it. We haven't got to borrow to do it, let's do it. And I rang Richard and said, it's back on, let's do it. This is the budget. We want to put five rides in. We want to make a bigger area. We want a bigger stage. We want to create a theatre show. And they were all up for that. So we did the contract. We knew that such as a legacy brand, therefore nannies and granddads, mums and dads, people of my, I'm 50s now, so I remember watching it as a kid, Matthew Corbett days. My mum and dad were watching it and they're in the 70s and 80s in the Harry Corbett days. So there is legacy. And what we have seen is people bringing their kids, "Oh, I remember this," and reminiscing with it. And you can see them telling their kids, "Oh, that." And we've got the original sets, we've got the original props here, and we've got the original costumes, and it's all part of Richard's.
Yeah, with the
estate.
Museum, you've got the museum bit. I've been showing my children. Remember we watched this when we were little. It's amazing. Yeah.
Hall of Fame. The people love Sutty Hall of Fame. And it's one of the most popular things. There's no ride-up praise involved, there's no electricity involved, no insurance. It's just put a load of stuff behind a counter glass thing and display them nicely, and people love it. Mm-hmm. It's this nostalgia. People love that whole nostalgia thing. And I'm sure now, as Peppa Pig and Tottenham, same for Thomas and Nickelodeon, a little bit to the same extent at the Pleasure Beach, people will be taking their kids back because that's what they did. And we're still seeing that repeat effect. And do you know what? We sell, not this puppet, but we sell loads of these in Sooty Sue and Sweep. And you've seen nannies and granddad buy them and pretend they're for their grandkids, but they're taking them home.
I have a sweep upstairs, Josh.
Very good.
Literally, still squeaking away after many years now of it being open.
So it was quite an easy decision, really. A, that the brand owner was really easy to work with and really wanted to work with us and were very trusting, and they trusted us with their brand. We proved very quickly that we weren't going to step aside from the guidelines and we weren't going to do things that we shouldn't be doing with Sutty. In fact, I probably shouldn't say this, but the Christmas before, I'd been away. Oh, I'd come back. I'd been at IAPA and came back. We had a big Christmas tree, a 40-foot Christmas tree at the top of the drive. And I came up and there was a Sutty on top of the Christmas tree. That's not in brand standards. That's not brought. So the maintenance team thought it was a bit of fun to put Sutty on top of the Christmas tree. It was harmless. They thought they were doing a nice thing. But we didn't do anything that was going to jeopardise the longevity and the legacy of Sooty. So we've really worked with Richard and his team to make sure that we were sensitive towards Sooty. And I think because of that, we gained trust. So now they're very flexible about what we do and what we can't do. And we've got Sooty lodges and Sooty birthday parties and various other things. So by being honest and open and sensible with the brand and working with the brand owners, you get given extra permissions and license to be able to do stuff, because I think it's really important that you cherish and respect the brand.
It's a two-way relationship, isn't it? When you enter into that kind of partnership, you want their brand to benefit your attraction and bring people in, but at the same time, they are, like you say, trusting you with their product. And if you did do something wrong with it, then that could really harm them. So yeah, it's great to hear that you've got that relationship with them and that it's worked so well for you, because we have spoken on the podcast before about IPs gone wrong and when they haven't worked. And like you say, maybe if you had gone with Bob, then it wouldn't have allowed you to do some of the things that you are doing now, like with the investments that you're making in 2026.
We work with Rose Entertainments as well. So Martin Rose's company, he supplies a lot of entertainment for parks who have IP. So he supplies all of the Thomas and the Fat Controller. He supplies Sooty for us. Martin is Richard's preferred supplier for Sooty shows, so we work closely with him. He also does, this is not a plug for Martin, by the way, but he does West Midlands Safari Park and Cadbury World. So he does quite a lot. So having that relationship, and because of my entertainment background, understanding the power of live shows and events and activities and how you could use that for commerciality reasons, that's sometimes it's undervalued, but
definitely. So there's more shows at Creeley than there were at Holden Towers recently, so
I mean that's not hard, but
no, but
I mean, I've got more shows in my living room.
But I think it's part
but
of
it's true. That's true, Josh. The entertainment's really good at Creeley, and it's like, it just shows that that's still an important part of it.
It is, yeah. It's as important as part of the rides or the clean toilets or the good food. It's part of the package. I think entertainment is one of, like marketing, it's the easiest thing to cancel from the budget to save money, but it has the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. My question always is, I'm not running on towers down at all because they've had their challenges and now they're now under new leadership under Howard, which, is going to do a great job, I'm sure. But if you asked Howard, would you shut Smiler or shut Nemesis? He'd say absolutely not. Well, that's just, entertainment is just as important as those attractions, if not more, because they soak up people, they're engaged and give people some downtime. There is a merchandise retail link to those things. So they are across the business. But sadly, it's the first thing that gets ticked off the list. No, we'll get rid of that. We'll get rid of that. We'll stop. And I think the feedback generally from businesses that have done that from their customers has been very clear. It's been very crystal clear that, we don't do that. Find other ways. And, we are finding other ways of. So you have to do other things. For example, this year, and it goes against the grain because I've spent the last 15 years trying to build this business so we can open all year round and become a 365 business.
Oh, wow.
Because of the costs, you simply can't. And like on a day like today, it pains me to only have 500 people in the park. So we've made a conscious decision that rather than open 7 days a week but water the product down, we'll open 4 days off peak, but everything will be open. So, and I think people would much rather know that you could come and have everything than come on a Monday and that's not open, or that's on rotation, or that food place isn't open, or that show's not, because we're out of season. And we people sometimes, or businesses, tend to stand behind that and, as an excuse. Well, I don't think that's right. I'd rather have our product open 70% of the time, but all guns blazing, than 100%, and it becomes a different product.
And I've noticed on the website as well, Josh, you're very clear about when things are open, or sorry, when things are closed, or when things even closed for maintenance. And not all parks do that. So that's a really good thing that you do at Creeley, is you're very clear, this is what's open, this isn't, this is down for maintenance at this time. So I think we appreciate that as enthusiasts and as
Well,
well.
we're doing that for two reasons. First of all, because the guest and the customer needs to know what they're coming to. If they're paying money, they need to know. They can make an informed decision that if the Twister roller coaster or the log flume's open, we'll come on the weekend, or I think people need to know that. And also, we do it for our team, most importantly our team, because we know that the grief they can get sometimes on the front line. So giving people, making them forearmed and forewarned, the team can stand by that. They can say it was on the website, it was really clear when you booked, you got confirmation. So it's not a surprise when they've turned up. And in an industry where it's really difficult to recruit and retain team, we don't want to make it any more difficult than it already is. So trying to make sure that we protect the team from a people management point of view as well is really important. So those kind of decisions are made for a multitude of reasons. Yes, it's about experience, but dual experience, guest and team.
We've talked a bit about the financial situation at the moment and the realities of running any park, not just a small park. And you've been very honest and open. Kind of putting that to one side, if you did have an unlimited budget, what would you put in? Bearing in mind what you say about your audience and what you think it needs, what's the one thing that you're like, I'd love that for Creeley?
Well, thinking twofold, theme park and the resort, I would love to build an indoor water park that we could use all year round. And on the side of that, build a roller skating rink, a 10-pin bowling alley. We've got small bowling in the park, but build a facility that we could use when the park's not open. So the park opens 9 till 6. We could use that 6 till midnight. We can use it in the winter. I'd love to do that. I'd love to put more accommodation. We've got plans to put in some floating lodges on a lake, which would be
Oh,
quite a nice thing to
lovely.
do. That's going to happen in the next year or so.
It's
But
exciting.
on the park, I would like to up the ante. We'd never get permission because of the noise, but I'd love to put a little wooden junior coaster in.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd
Oh,
love
yes,
to put a
please.
wooden.
We'll take that.
I just don't think it'll ever happen because of the noise
Oh, that's.
and the ongoing maintenance. That's the issue with woodies. That's why people aren't doing it. But for us, we've got, and I'm not giving away any secrets here, but it's common knowledge, we are looking at a potential family boomerang in the next 2 3 years. We're talking to various people about that because that's the next step up for
Excellent.
us. But also, I'd like to extend our water play on the site. We've got a lot of circus. I'd like to treble that size for hot days. I would like to. We've got a lovely circus, big top arena, but I'd like to build a purpose-built theatre type venue we can use for corporate as well. And I would like to. I'd like to add another couple of family thrill rides. So you could easily spend 20 million like that. That's
And yes.
if anyone's listening,
Yeah, absolutely.
has it down the back of a sofa.
But I think it's too easy to spend money. And if you talk to, and I won't give names out again because it's not fair, but we all know there are parks in the last 2 or 3 years who've spent big money, I mean tens of millions, and haven't moved the dial at all. So it's not just about the attractions. It's about the spirit of the park. It's about how you're made to feel when you're there.
That's
It's
good, yeah.
about value. service standards, quality. You know, ex Disney, I'm ex Royal Caribbean, I'm ex. You know, that is drilled into you, and it becomes second nature about making people feel great. You know, we're asking people to spend hundreds and hundreds of pounds on a day out of hard-earned cash in a time where it's expensive to fill the car with fuel. It's expensive to have days out. So I think people are having less days out for sure. So the days out they are having, we need to make sure we deliver that fantastic experience. So you can put all the rides in you want, but ultimately it's about a package.
Yeah. I Josh, you've been an absolute breath of fresh air with your not only your openness and your honesty, but also just how truly enthusiastic you are about the park. I think, you know, every single person listening to this will be inspired to visit Creeley after this. And we can,
Hopefully, that'd be
it's
good.
Yeah, you've
it
got
is
to.
absolutely infectious. I have never yet made it down, but when I am back in the UK this summer, I am coming to see you. I promise you that.
Drop me a line. You come and stay, and you come and stay in one of our lovely hot tub lodges. We'll
Oh,
put you
don't
up.
tempt me. But yeah, it's been
Wow.
absolutely brilliant chatting to you. We will keep in touch and we will speak to you again in the future, I'm sure, because there is so much exciting stuff going on and your plans for the future. I know I
Absolutely.
asked for blue sky thinking, but I actually I'm not convinced that you won't pull all of that off. I think I think we'll be talking about you in many years to come down at Creeley. Before you leave, I have one final question.
Just gotta ride it.
This is Just Gotta Ride It. It's the part of the podcast where whenever we have a guest, before you go, I say, imagine a world where every roller coaster in the world is about to get destroyed and you can only save one. Which roller coaster would you be saving, Josh, from Creeley?
A few that I really like. I really love Shrieker at Busch Gardens. That's
Oh, cool.
sensational. But I am a big fan of Hagrid's motorbike ride at Universal. It's an amazing ride. But you can't replace the thrill of a proper wooden Big Dipper. And I'm a big fan of White Lightning. It's at Fun Spot in Orlando,
Yep.
and that punches well above its weight. We just literally came back. I took the family to Efteling 2 weeks ago. We had a little road trip into
Oh,
Toverland.
one of my
By the way,
favorites.
Toverland have got Troy, which is a brilliant wooden
Oh,
roller
it's
coaster.
fantastic. It's fantastic.
Amazing. And Efteling have got some great rides, but I think, yeah, I don't know. So many great rides.
You're keeping on tender hooks here,
Yeah,
Josh.
You keep saying it. It's like when you watch X Factor. It's like,
There's
oh,
okay,
no,
yeah,
there's
so
one.
okay, I'm gonna go with purely because it was the first park I worked at. The original Big Dipper, which was obviously 100-odd years old at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, that was my first wooden roller coaster.
Oh,
I
I
wasn't
was.
really a big fan of Grand National, but I was there when Richard Rodriguez did his world
Oh,
record attempt.
Wow.
So I did it a few times back to back with him, and yeah, I quite like that. And it would be a real shame if anything happened to that.
It would. I rode it 2 weeks ago. I mean, it shook me from left to right.
Yeah.
But you better believe I'm going to do it again. It is a
The technology
fantastic.
back then to do that 100
Yeah.
years ago, you know, that's
It's
incredible to think that,
I know.
there are manufacturers, and I won't name them today, who would struggle to build a roller coaster of that quality with the technology that we have today.
Yeah.
So hats off to the engineers back then.
It's absolutely iconic and it looks fantastic. It's a great choice. I don't think anyone has ever picked that. So well done
Hey.
for saving that one, Josh.
Great.
As I said, it's been brilliant chatting to you. I know if you've been listening, I'm sure you have enjoyed today's episode. If you have, leave us a review. Let us know what you thought. And if you haven't already, if you hit that subscribe button, you will never miss a future episode. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.